I am very thankful that the Holy Spirit is not only fighting all of these, that I'm glad that God is able to speak and work today regardless of the scripture reading for today comes from the book of James, 4, verses 13 through 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone, then, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, Shinja.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you. Some might think, hey, our sound system's not working today, but actually we've gotten an upgrade, and we are using the exact same sound system that Jesus used. He sometimes had it like the boat and preaching out from the sea or a hillside or something like this. This was his standard deal. And so I'm really happy about that. And sometimes I think about that. Sometimes we have put so much weight in what it means to do church in technology, that I actually think that we've created this in some ways. We have the ability to create kind of something that's like the church, or something that's like the movement of the Holy Spirit, or the power of the community, something that's like it, and sometimes we may be missing in real art. So I'm glad to be here with you today. Pray that my voice holds up, but this is great. And by the way, we have actually done a little bit of an upgrade, and we have installed our first ever Antioch Community Church fog machine. We created it out today just to try to make me look more cool. It's a cool deal, so I'm really excited about that. So at least we've got that going for us. But I really do want to just pause and pray once more and ask God to just have this space. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. God, we miss you. Sometimes we miss you because we try to create something that seems like you. Sometimes we miss you because we depend on our systems, we depend on our plans, we depend on what we can do. Instead of just saying that you can't, we need you, Lord. And I just pray that today, in this next moment, that you would just be manifest here in a way that would cause us to be filled with wonder and awe of you. We ask you, Lord, to please come and fill this space, fill our hearts, capture our attention. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in James chapter 4. Scott, thanks for reading the text for us this morning. And we're talking about making plans for the future, and facing the reality that sometimes those plans fall through a bit. And it causes us, and should cause us, when we read this, to just kind of rethink the whole thing. What are we doing when we're making plans? What are we hoping for? I had three different times I planned to go to Haiti in the past, and not too long ago. Three different times I was going to go. I was going to do missions work, and I was going to meet in Becker. Several churches worked together to support a school in Haiti. So most of the people in town have been there. At least a lot of people are church. It's a really cool effort. And I'm like, I want to go too. I'm going to be part of that. I want to go. All three times it fell through. One time two missionaries, I was going to go work with them and help them with the conflict. They quit and left before I got there. No work, plans failed. time this pandemic turned up called COVID happened, you know, kind of big back and travel a little bit. So I shut down my second trip. Third trip, I was going to go, the team did all the prep work, and then the parents took over the school compound, which was terrible, drove all the children into the jungles. Horrible situation for me to go here. You deal with something like that. What do we do when our plans for the future fall short? What do we do when we work hard for something we think we've got it laid out? Is it because of our fault it doesn't work? Is it the world? Is it God who said maybe he had different plans? What is it that we do with that? Sometimes we can feel pretty frustrated, pretty disappointed over those kinds of things. Even as a kid, maybe you had an adult in your life who often promised, hey, I'm going to do this with you. I'm going to take you here. We're going to have this experience that you never thought of. What do you do with that? Or you go, we're going to visit our family. In 6 months, we're going to go visit our family. 6 months is going to be great. We're making this plan, we're going to go. Before we get there, something happens. You know, maybe you have family visits. Maybe you're going earlier than we thought to a few. Sounds depressing, but it happens. Or like, I've heard the story a lot. Somebody works really hard toward retirement. They save, they have plans. All the things they're going to do, and they get a cancer diagnosis within 6 months of their retirement day. They can't do any of those things. That's how life works sometimes. We pretend it doesn't, and we push forward, but sometimes it does. We all get married planning for having marriage. And yet, statistically, about 50% of marriages end in divorce. Significant celebration. How many plans for that? How many plans for that? But these things catch us by surprise. And James is like, let's just be frank. Let's just be frank. Today you are a mess. Just facing the facts, you're a mess. You're a favor. Thus, the Father. So when you look at that, you're like, that's so thin and whiskey, I can hardly see it. Yes, exactly. That's you. And me. Right. We're a vapor, man. I remember, this will date me, I remember 9/11. Some of you were like infants when that happened. I think you were really little, which is crazy because I was a pastor. But the piece of it that I remember, I mean, the whole thing happened. The thing that I remember today about this is that in the week that followed, the economy tanked. I mean, it hit us economically. And I remember showing up at church the next Sunday afternoon, and there's an older guy, and he's kind of just standing over by the edge of the fellowship hall. Just, he looked visibly shaken. And I approached him and said, what's going on with your dad? He says, it's gone. It's gone. I'm like, what's gone? He says, I've worked my entire adult life, and I've saved money for this dream that I would retire, I would buy a cabin on a lake, and I would spend the next whole season of my life in this beautiful cabin on a lake, and my retirement is cut in half. I can't do anything. It's gone. It happens. My goal isn't to discourage you from saving. But that we would do so realistically as followers of Jesus. And that we would think about where we place our hope. Where does God fit into our plans? I mean, where are we placing our hope? You know, life is a vapor. Our future plans are vapor. Sometimes we work really hard, we make money, and think that somehow that's going to support or hold up all this investment, and you keep dropping, you keep investing in a future that James is saying, don't count on that stuff. is not stable. It's not what we hope it would be. Even our own very lives are a vapor. And so James says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to this city or that city, we'll spend a year there, we'll carry on business and make money. But you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? We're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. He's like, okay, you've got a business plan. Great. Where is God in your business plan? What truly lasts about this business plan? What are you really going for? What are you hoping for? Because James is exposing sometimes when we make these plans, it's not going to work. And even if it works, we might miss something very important. You are missed. Scripture reminds us often of needing our money is. How we can engage in the pursuit of things, hoping that they fulfill us and realize that we have the life. Whether we got them or not, we may be running around race. So what can we do? What does he call us to? What's the alternative? He's going to talk about a few different things and just put it under this title. Submit to God's will. Submit to God's will. Listen to what he says. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live, do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. So James kind of sets it up like, hey, you either, the way we make our plans, the way we do run our lives, the way we build our futures, either you're doing it submissive to God's will, seeking God's will, walking in God's will, or, what do you call them? Arrogance. Arrogant schemes. Wow, James. What if my intentions are really good at just forgot Jesus? I'm going to call it functional atheism. Sometimes we make our plans, we do our work in a way that is functionally atheist. And atheism means I don't believe God exists, right? It's an intellectual position. I don't believe God exists. It's atheism. But sometimes I'm a Christian, but I make all these plans and do all this work without even thinking much about God. It's just what I think would be good for me and my family, and I do it as if God doesn't exist. So I may believe in God, but I practice a functional atheism. It's not a good place to be. Don't act like an atheist in the way we make our plans. Involve God in our plans. Where is God in this? And you can ask all kinds of questions about your planning, why you're planning. Where is God in this? What if this requires God that I can't do on my own? How can I apply the gospel in this step? What is it about my faith that's involved in this? Or am I just doing the thing that seems right to God? It's a bad need. Or I'm just kind of hoping that he'll make my way successful. You do that sometimes. I find myself doing that all the time. So how can we submit to God's will? How can we do it? The first thing to do is very simple. It's just simply acknowledge God. Acknowledge God consistently in your life. Acknowledge him consistently. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, if you know it, you can recite it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make the path straight. You just find build into your life a regular pattern of finding times to acknowledge the Lord. One of the reasons we pray before we eat food. Before food goes to your mouth, stop and pray. You're just acknowledging God. It's not complicated. It doesn't have to be fancy. God, thanks for this food. You're just acknowledging that He's there. A part of our life. When I wake up in the morning, most mornings, I'll just stop and sit on the floor for a minute and just have a conversation with the Lord. Generally, I'll use the Lord's prayers. Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge His will. Acknowledge His reign. Find ways to acknowledge the Lord consistently every day. And as you make plans and think about plans, you'll think about them differently. For example, praying the Lord's Prayer consistently in the morning, at night, whatever, causes you to say things like, hey, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is. Just give me today my daily bread. Now make a business plan. Make your plans for the future. Acknowledge God consistently. You remember that the book of James, what is James teaching the church to apply? So he wrote the letter that we call the book of James. He's actually teaching the church to apply something else in the Bible. What is it?
Sermon on the Mount.
Sermon on the Mount, that's right. So Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount. The book of James is like, yeah, here's how you do that in church. So we reflect back on what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34, when he talked about this. He said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. Didn't Jesus, he's like, yeah, we're going to need to worry about tomorrow. It's all right. Do some work, plan, whatever, but you need to worry about that. First, seek God's kingdom, and God will help you. God will walk you through the day. Put it first, acknowledge God. The second thing that we should do as we're seeking to live in God's will is to search the scriptures. Just make a commitment to searching the scriptures. And here's what I mean by that. Sometimes when we're thinking about a big future thing, we're wondering, I need to know what God's will is. What is God's will for that? Is it God's will that I should quit my job and get a better one? Is it God's will that I should go back to school? Is it God's will that I should marry and date this person? Is it God? I mean, we wonder what God's will is about the big things, and we get stuck there, but the reality is God's Word tells us what God's will is on our daily things, how we live today. Think about a couple of these passages. This is where we start to understand and apply God's Word. I'll just pull a few, but I thought of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Make my plans for tomorrow. Do my vacation planning. Think about this next day. Am I giving God praise today? Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. If you're trying to want to discern God's will for your big tomorrow decision, but you're not living with thankfulness before the Lord today, you're not really living in God's will today, why don't you reveal what you should do around the corner? Actually, if you get to live in God's will functionally today, if we really want to be able to discern God's will for tomorrow, or another text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, He says, it's God's will that you should be sanctified. That you should avoid sexual immorality. Each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that's holy and honorable. Not in passion, lust, or the demons. You do not know that. It's God's will. So that's God's will. Are we working to live in God's will today? In the way that we manage ourselves, our passions, our desires? Or are we letting ourselves just kind of be led by our passions and then hope that we can discern God's will for tomorrow? I'm going to work. Or 1 Peter 4, it says, so then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Those who suffer according to God's will. Sometimes God's will for you and for me is that we suffer in some way. And that's okay. It's God's will. There's good in that. There's growth in that. There's ways to glorify God in that. If my day today, my day is suffering avoided all day, and every way I can, or complaining my way through suffering, we're getting bitter through suffering, and then I hope God shows me His will for the big decision. It's not going to happen. So keep in the Word is the point. Keep learning how to walk with Jesus. Keep putting on the flesh, putting on the Spirit. As you walk with Him today, He'll clarify His will for tomorrow. He'll lead you down the right paths. Acknowledge Him, stay in the Word, keep walking with Him in His will today. And God will help you direct your paths for tomorrow. We skip those things that seem really simple. We put all our emphasis on tomorrow, that's what we're going to do. We're going to miss God's presence with us tomorrow if we're not living in it today. And then the third way to stay in God's will is to pray. Pray. Pray about your day, pray about your future. There's two ways to pray. I used to pray often. I try not to so much anymore. God, bless my plans. I'm making this great plan for next year. Bless my plans. And I'm going to see how ridiculous that is. But I made my future plans, and I want you to come and bow down and serve me and make my plans. Okay? I'm done with that. Instead of going to the Lord and saying, God, what are your plans? Help me to walk with you today and show me what are your plans. What do you want me to do? How can I do this for you? How can you get glory in these plans? But pray about it and keep holding it before the Lord. And let God look at our plans so that we can grow and walk in His will. So we're a mist. We change that, and we anchor to something that's not a mist, and that's God and His will. We pursue Him and His will. And then I love how he finishes this little section. Just do something good today. Pretty simple. Like, in all of this, don't get caught up in worrying, in the planning, in the uncertainty. Just do something good today. He says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do, but doesn't do it, it's sin for them. If God is saying, hey, why don't you do this? Just do it. Whatever that is. You know, sometimes it helps to ask specific questions about our day and timeline. How can I demonstrate God's love here in this? Think about it when you leave church today and you go to have lunch. When you go home and make lunch, or you go out with some friends, or whatever you do, ask yourself the question, how can I demonstrate God's love at lunch? I've got to show you. How can I apply the gospel to the way we do lunch today? Just get used to doing that as we think about our future. Will come more naturally, and God will guide us and direct us into our tomorrow. You don't need to worry. You don't need to have anxiety about that. Just walk with Jesus. I'm really thankful for James taking that just head on. It's convicting to me as I think about the way I sometimes plan or put a lot of emphasis on the future. God's going to walk with us today. Good job, everybody. Father, thank you for the opportunity to read James, to glean from him what you said over 2,000 years ago that applies so strongly to our lives today. And Lord, I just confess that we do think about our futures, we do think about our finances. We want to know that we can make money in the future. Help us, Lord, to walk today and trust in you. To make sure that we take every single step and guide us for your glory in Jesus' name.